It can be said with some justification that a Jewish history consists of a chain of successive miracles. It begins with the miraculous redemption from the Egyptian bondage, the event that we shall commemorate at the beginning of next week with the festival of Passover. The influence that a small nation like ancient Israel has been able to exert on the course of human history, the survival of the Jewish people scattered throughout the world, are miracles that have always baffled the minds of the historians. And if we bear in mind the conditions under which the efforts for the resettlement of Jewry in this country were undertaken, then we may well admit that the readmission of our people to this land comes also within the category of the miraculous. For us Jews, however, these apparent historic anomalies do not present a problem, for we see in them, as in all events recorded in the annals of humanity, the intervention of God. Judaism teaches us that the Almighty alone forms the destinies of the individuals and of nations. Inspired by this belief in God, the representatives of Anglo-Jewry have gathered in this synagogue today. They have come the most ancient Jewish house of worship on British soil, to praise the Almighty for having guided the steps of our fathers to this hospitable shore, and for having made it possible for us to establish in this country a Jewish community which has made a worthy contribution to English life. Today, as a result, the British people as a whole can claim that history has justified the actions of those who made the resettlement possible. The students of history do not merely occupy themselves with dates and events. In the first place, they are concerned with the ideas and the conditions that gave rise to these events. We must therefore consider the whole resettlement of the Jews in this country from a wider point of view of history. The century of the resettlement saw in many ways the beginning of a historic process which was to lead to gradual changes in the structure of Western civilization. Parallel with these changes, the idea that society depended on religious uniformity gave way to a more tolerant religious outlook. It is indeed in this change of ideas and of attitudes, which was reflected in the resettlement and which indicated the gradual progress of humanity, that we see the pattern of the divine purpose. But while in many other countries these advanced ideas remained merely a theoretical ideal, in England They found expression in the deeds of the leaders of the country who allowed Jewry to re-enter this land. Anglo-Jewry must forever be grateful, first, that Oliver Cromwell, in his tolerant attitude towards other religions, was far in advance of his contemporaries, that both King Charles II and King James II made toleration the law of the land, copying Cromwell's example in allowing the young Jewish community to worship the Almighty in their own way and in preventing all attempts to persecute. On many fateful occasions in our history, it was our spiritual leaders who intervened on behalf of their people. The Gemara Yomah narrates that King Alexander, on meeting the high priest Simon the Just, descended from his chariot and bowed down to him. The astonished servants exclaimed, "A mighty king like yourself should not bow down to a Jew." But the king answered, "It is his image that wins me battle." The implication is that the king believed that his undertakings were inspired by the ideas of righteousness and justice, which the high priest symbolized. Special significance can therefore be attached to the fact that it was a spiritual leader, Rabbi Menasseh ben Israel, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, of blessed memory, who was the moving spirit in the negotiations for the resettlement. As a man inspired by the spirit of the Torah, he based his pleadings not merely on mercy, but on justice too. In his pamphlets, he pointed out the virtues and the value of the Jewish law, as well as the qualities of the Jewish people as exemplified in their history. In his declaration to the Commonwealth of England, he says, "It is my intention to obtain here for my nation the liberty of a free and public synagogue, wherein daily we may call upon the Lord our God to remember his promises to our fathers, restoring us to our fathers' inheritance, and besides to sue for a blessing upon this nation and the people of England for receiving us and for comforting Zion in her distress." Today, these words sound almost prophetic. Anglo-Jewry, ever grateful for having been given the opportunity of developing in this country and of contributing to its welfare, continues in its many houses of worship to sue for a blessing upon the people of England. And how has the hope of Menasseh ben Israel been realized, that this country would comfort Zion in her distress? The Balfour Declaration laid down the foundations for the greatest comfort of Zion and of the house of Israel since the destruction of the second temple, the reestablishment of the new state of Israel, for whose safety we pray to the God of our fathers today, and for whose future all of us must work. As Manasseh ben Israel envisaged, the Almighty in his wisdom chose this freedom-loving country through which to perform yet another miracle in the history of his people. When we look back and consider that Manasseh ben Israel asked for the children of Israel to be allowed to re-enter this country in order to observe freely their religion, then we may well admit that still to date, loyalty to our faith and the practice of our religious observances are the time-tried basis on which alone the Anglo-Jewish community can flourish, and on which alone the Jew can create a satisfactory relationship between himself and his fellow citizens. Our future as a community can only be safeguarded by the sincerity with which we offer our prayers to the God of Israel in our synagogues, by the places of study in which our children are taught the living word of the Torah, and above all, by the perseverance with which we apply the teachings of Judaism to our private, family, and communal life. Sanctuary in Jerusalem, which was the custodian of Israel's most sacred traditions, and which stood as a living symbol of that unbreakable covenant between God and his people, has been replaced by our synagogues and places of study. These proved bastions in the past to Anglo-Jewry, and these are our inspiration for the future. We read in the Gemara that the words of the Song of Songs, "Ani Choma," "I am a wall," refer to the community of Israel. But when is the house of Israel an impregnable wall? When, to quote the Gemara once again, she is fortified by Batei Knesiyot u'Batei Medrashot, by synagogues and schools for study. We, the Anglo-Jewish community, must realize that it is in the spiritual sphere and through it that we can influence the progress of this country, and that it is for the strengthening of a spiritual and religious outlook that England looks to her Jewish citizens. In order to achieve this, we must be united. We must be united in our service of God, in our help to our brethren throughout the world, and in identifying ourselves in thought and in action with the noble strivings of this great country. But let us always bear in mind that this identification does not mean spiritual of physical assimilation. Only by remaining loyal to our faith, by bringing up our children in the true spirit of the Torah, will we be able to pay the debt that we owe to this country for its hospitality to our fathers 300 years ago. As we stand on the threshold of the fourth century of our existence in this country, we remember with gratitude the Chachamim and the chief rabbis, as well as the lay leaders of Anglo-Jewry, who by their pious devotion to Judaism, to God, and to duty, have been able to maintain an unbreakable chain of noble tradition, which begins with Menasseh ben Israel. Today, on this solemn occasion, Anglo-Jewry offer their prayers to the God of Israel to bless and to keep in his safety Her Majesty the Queen, all the royal family, and all those who guide the destinies of this great nation. Today, we echo the words of the prayers of Menasseh ben Israel, which he offered 3 centuries ago when appealing to the nation of England to allow the resettlement of Jewry in this country, beseeching God that he should hasten the time promised by his prophet, when we shall all serve him with one consent, after the same manner, and shall all be of the same judgment, that as his name is one, so his fear may be also one, and that all we all may see the glory and the goodness of the Lord blessed forever, and the consolations of Zion. Our rabbis tell us that no prayer is complete without prayer for peace. And today, we in this sanctuary raise our eyes to our Heavenly Father to bless with peace this land, the land of Israel, and all the world. Amen.